Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. You want to be ordained? You don't. It's not about you going in front of a church with a preacher giving you a sheet of paper and ordaining you as minister of music in the church. Jesus said, I ordain you, I set you forth, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What's the key to answered prayer? Fruit that remain. A nature change. The nine fruit of the Spirit identifying you as part of the body of Christ, so you'll always pray in the will of God. Fruit is the key to answered prayer. Somebody, is anybody listening to this? Testing, 1, 2, 1, 2, is anybody there? Fruit is the key to answered prayer. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against us there is no law. Replicate Jesus. Produce the fruit that manifests Jesus. Be an exact presentation of Jesus to the world, and prayer will be answered, because God knows you're praying the will of God, because the mind of Christ settles down inside of you, since you become the express image of Christ on the earth. As he is in heaven, so are we on the earth, the Bible says. He ends that little discourse there saying, these things I command you, that you love one another. That's John 15:1-17. So he says, I command you. See, if love was a feeling, he could command you to do it. Think about that. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. If love was a feeling, he could not command you to do it, because nobody can command you to have a feeling. Let that marinate in your mind now. Let that thing get a hold of you. If love was a feeling, Jesus couldn't command you to love. So love is an act of obedience in response to a commandment. I must live selflessly. No greater love does a man have than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. That's love. You don't have to feel anything. Obey the commandment. Listen, folks. We're trying to drill down and get you back to the real Jesus. Stop all that religious crazy stuff. Talk normally again. Stop talking so crazy, acting so crazy. Just become normal. See, church has messed you up. Church gets you real crazy acting. Drop off all that stuff and become just a regular, everyday person again, so you can relate to God and just walk with him. Obey him. Do what he tells you to do, and you'll be fine. A bit more apple cider here. The real Jesus. Simple. Down to earth. Everyday person. Matthew chapter 11. The real Jesus. Matthew chapter 11. Take a look at verse. Let's see here. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except for the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The Father has to be revealed to us by the Son. So it's imperative that you get to know the Son real well so that he can reveal the Father to you and me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, if you're burdened down, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you see now, Jesus defines himself as a person that is meek and lowly in his heart. And if you come to him, you'll find rest for your soul. That's the real Jesus. Meek and lowly, compassionate, able to identify with you and take your burdens on and give you rest. That's Jesus. Jesus is not messed up in the head trying to put burdens on you. He's trying to take burdens off of you. But what happens is people become so religious, they put burdens on themselves. So not knowing the real Jesus, you get bound in religion. He's trying to lift the burdens off of you, and you're trying to perform under the religious yoke of churchianity, and you're putting burdens on yourself that he didn't put on you. That's what happens when you don't know the real Jesus. You'll bind yourself to heavy burdens, not knowing Jesus, and then pretending like it matters to him. You know how much stuff that people actually do that Jesus cares nothing about? Think about that. I'm doing all this junk and the Lord could care less. I observe the Sabbath. I pay my tithes faithfully. I'm the first one in the church on Sunday morning at 8:15. Jehovah's Witnesses go door to door. Mormons go door to door trying to tell somebody something about the religious organization they belong to. Jesus is black. The blacks are Hebrews. You gotta wear certain clothes to be saved. Some places you can't go. Some things you can't do. I mean, you can make up all these rules, regulations, rituals, and all this junk you pile on top of yourself. And he says, look, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm meek and lowly. I don't know why y'all doing all this stuff. He's just sitting there watching people do all this stuff. But the forerunner of all these statements was, come and learn of me. Sit down and learn of me so you'll stop doing all of this stuff about to drive yourself crazy, and it's all unnecessary. You can't preach a gospel of legalism, laws, rules, and burdens and get people free in order to operate in the church and know Jesus. You got too many burdens on you. You can't know the Lord full of burdens and yokes and bondages and all this stuff. That's why the law won't get you free. You'll just add fuel to the fire. You'll get more burdened down under the law. You'll end up frustrated and mad. And you might even end up walking away from the Lord and just forgetting the whole thing. So learn what you need to learn from the Word of God to get to know the real Jesus so you can walk with him without a bunch of burdens on you. Some people never get over feeling guilty, ashamed, or condemned about sin because they don't know Jesus. They just always are doubling back to some kind of a guilt trip or trying to find out what's wrong with them. Excuse me, always trying to analyze themselves. I mean, self-examination all the time can get crazy. I mean, everything means something. I stumped my toe. I must have been sinning. You know, I ran out of gas, so I must be in some kind of disfavor with God. God might hate me for something I did. You know, just everything means something. You know, my child fell down, broke their arm. Who opened that door to the devil? I mean, the child tripped over a branch in the backyard. It was a mistake. It was a mishap. Go get the arm set and just keep living. When you live under condemnation and legalistic ritualism, everything means something. You append meaning to everything. I remember riding on a bus trip with a girl one time. We were going on a retreat with the church, and she was trying to take notes, listening to a Bible tape, writing in a notepad, sitting next to me, and her pen wasn't right. And she was rebuking Satan and rebuking the pen and rebuking, you know, the devil for binding the pen and talking to the pen. And I just said, look, you want to use my pen? You know, you see that your pen is out of ink. Would you like to use my pen? You know, and I guess I'm the devil now trying to stop her from rebuking her pen. See, religion is a crazy, warped, weird place. That'll have you doing all kinds of weird, crazy stuff when you just need to get back to normal thinking. Practice speaking normally. Stop talking so fast. Slow your speech down. Stop the religious speak. Just talk normally. Be cordial. Talk to people so they can understand you. When you're talking fast and acting crazy, it's a spirit on you that people can't even ingest and digest what you're saying. Just slow your roll and talk to people like a normal human being. They can receive it because you're normal again. Religion is a monster. Godzilla, King Kong, and the Hydra wrapped up in the one. All right, the real Jesus. You see him there, meek and lowly. He wants to produce fruit, he says in John. Just come and learn from me. Sit with me. Let this fruit mature and grow in you. Change your character. Get your mind back to sanity. Get everything about you reordered on the inside. Stop performing. Stop running around. Stop trying to be the religious valedictorian of the class. You know, you trying to study to know more stuff than anybody. I mean, much learning, the Bible says, will drive you mad, will drive you crazy. Because you're studying the Bible for debate, for strife, trying to know more than the next person. That will drive you nutty. Just want to know Jesus. Talk to the Lord. Just hang around the Lord. Invite the Lord to be with you everywhere you go. Make your atmosphere compatible to the Lord. Not a bunch of junk. Nothing evil, nothing unclean, nothing nasty. No dirty, low-down people, no God-forsaken mess. I mean, just keep your atmosphere right so he'll have a nice environment that's cordial and acceptable to him, that he feels invited to come into your atmosphere. Folks, this thing is not rocket science. Jesus is a person. Jesus has likes and dislikes. Jesus would probably come to your house and have a preference for a meal. Oh, you really believe that? Yeah, I do. You could ask him, Jesus, what would you like to eat tonight? He would probably have a preference. He could tell you that he prefer more so than another thing. You say, well, would you like some meatloaf? He might say, no, I prefer. Do you have any baked chicken or baked fish? Or perhaps some lamb, roasted lamb? Do you have any of that? No, Lord, but I'll run right out and get you some. I'll run right out. And, you know, if the Lord was sitting at your dining room table, you'd be tearing the door down trying to get to the grocery store. you know, busting out windows trying to get to the grocery store. That's how it goes. You be trying to just don't leave, just be here when I get back. You know, I mean, here's a cup of coffee to keep you company. I'm running to the store right now to get that roasted lamb. Because you want to keep the environment whereby Jesus Christ is around you. You don't want the devil to come and Jesus is not within 10,000 miles of you. You want to keep Jesus around you at all times. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the midday, Jesus in the late evening hours, Jesus at the midnight hour. Because you don't want to create an environment where he is not invited and accepted and welcomed at all times. The real Jesus. The real Jesus. He'll calm you down. He'll make you normal. You'll stop being religiously irate and crazy. You won't debate. You won't strive because it just won't matter anymore. Debate goes away when you don't care anymore. Folks say all kinds of things and it doesn't matter. I mean, doing what I do every week on live stream, you know, on Sunday and preaching and stuff, I get a lot of pushback. A lot of folks don't like it. A lot of folks call me all kinds of names, but it doesn't matter anymore. I don't care. My answer is I don't care. It's just like black Hebrew Israelites and black men being the Hebrews and Jesus being black. It doesn't matter anymore. I don't care. If you want to believe that, that's fine with me. It doesn't add or take away anything from me. So that's your prerogative. So knock yourself out. But see, people who are religiously bound to any kind of ideology want to make everything a big deal. Nothing is that big of a deal. Not really. It all comes out in the wash. If the wash water won't get it, the rinse water will. It'll all pan out okay in the long run. But in the meantime, you want to be around Jesus, the real one, as revealed by the Bible. So I told you earlier now, you can make Jesus ultra feminine because of your own hurt, because of your own history, because of sin you committed or sin committed against you. See, you can have two things from sin that damage you. It can be self-induced damage because you did the sin, or it could be damage done to the infrastructure of the heart because somebody sinned against you, i.e. child molestation or rape or, you know, something like that, physical abuse or whatever. So it could be sin committed by you or sin committed against you, but still you got to be delivered from either one of them. You can't idolize sin committed against you. That will bind you just as much as sin you committed. You got to get over all of it. That's why he says forgive if you have aught against any. He says don't let sin committed against you bind you by you becoming an idolater of the sin committed against you. I'm just telling you now. Look, my motivation is to see people set free. Set free. We got too much bondage in church. Bondage to the left, bondage to the right, bondage to the rear, bondage in front. Bondage. It's time to be set free from all this bondage. So we can get to know the real Jesus collectively as a group, serve him, walk with him, obey him, loving him, and carrying forth his will. What would be so bad about a base camp of saints like that? A base camp of saints no longer driven by religious ideology, but just there around Jesus. Nothing that big of a deal, nothing to prove. Where you headed? Nowhere. What you doing? Nothing. What you got on your mind? Not much. You're just around. Salvation is a state of being. I'm around. The Lord's around. The Holy Ghost is around. They manifest as they will. And we go on. Miracles are normal. Healings are normal. supernatural attestation to what we say is normal. The power of praise is normal. I mean, the atmosphere is supercharged with God, but it's normal. And now you become just a saint of God with no religious energy in you. Now, you see, what we're trying to deconstruct is religious energy. Religious energy has a lot of stinky sweat appended to it. Religious energy makes you try a lot. You know, why do we have the prayer line every night? The prayer line is there to teach people how to pray. People don't know instinctively how to pray. Now, you got some people that pray. They pray religiously. It's just silly. But you'll have some people that come on there. You can pick up the sincere prayers of a person whose heart is right. It's not about a bunch of play acting, not a bunch of affectations, not a lot of long orchestrated junk that amounts to nothing. But just a sincere hearted person saying a simple prayer. That prayer gets through. God is not impressed by a lot of talking and oratory. He wants a person that is normal, just like him, and just able to identify with him in a logical, reasonable way so he can walk with you and talk with you and show you the greatness of his salvation. But it's a normal walk. Anything outside of a normal walk is the devil. So ultra-feminizing Jesus makes him compatible and makes him a nurturing little mama that's going to take care of the hurt little baby that you won't let die. You're keeping the hurt child alive. And so you made Jesus into a nurturing mama, an ultra feminine character that has to always speak softly to you and treat you with kid gloves, or else you'll just faint and can't take it. You'll walk away from anything authoritative and that has discipline appended to it, because I have an IOU. I was hurt bad as a child. I was molested. I was raped. I was sodomized as a little boy. I have an IOU in me. God, you owe me for what hurt me. I'm not going to let you overlook what hurt me. You owe me for letting this thing hurt me. And I'm not going to change, or I'm not going to do anything until you give me my pound of flesh, because I was hurt. And you got to make amends for them hurting me. You can get angry and mad behind that now, thinking that God owes you for what somebody did to you. Well, you say, well, why didn't God do something about it? He did. What did he do about it? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whomsoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God saw your molestation and sent his son and butchered him to set you free from the damage done by the molestation. Don't blame God. God has already made a way to heal your broken heart, change the circumstances, set you up inside of Christ, and then bathe you in righteousness and change everything in your life. See, God could kill everybody that committed sin against you and you bypass it. But God wants to save even the person that molested you. See, don't let sin you commit and sin committed against you bind you forever. Let it go so you can become the righteousness of Christ in righteousness of God in Christ, and be conformed to Christ, have the burdens lifted, and live. Folks, what I'm telling you is right. I'm telling you what's right, because I want to see you set free. I fight the same battles as everybody else. I'm not saying I'm perfected and I've got it all figured out. I'm saying we're all battling to get this thing right before the Lord. I preach messages based on what I'm going through, what we're all going through. We've got to go through together to get to the other side. Everybody's crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan River together. but we're trying to get to the other side. But religious activity and a make-believe Jesus and just doing a bunch of junk won't get us over there. So that's one unreal Jesus. We want the real Jesus. Now, here's the other Jesus we can look at. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. We'll wrap it up with this scripture. It's 10 minutes to 9. Prayer begins at 9. I think we'll make the deadline tonight here. Well, we'll try. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not you after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So here the Pharisees are binding you, putting burdens on you, adding all this junk to you. And man, they're just binding you down with all these heavy burdens, and they won't do any of them. But they're making all the laws for you to be bound, you to be burdened down, and they do absolutely nothing. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries. And phylacteries was a little pouch that you put scripture text in. And the broader it got, the bigger it got, the more scriptures you had remembered. So you walk around with this little phylactery to show the people, I've got all this word in me. People do that to this very day. They walk around trying to be a wordologist. They'll say things like, anything you answer to me, back it up with scripture. It must be backed up with scripture or else I won't listen to it. Did you not know everything that God does and says can't be found in scripture? What? Price, you're a blasphemer. No, I'm not. You need the character of Christ. You need the mind of Christ, because God is alive. And he might tell you something that's not in the Bible verbatim, but it will agree with the spirit of the Bible. See, the spirit of the Bible will never be broken. Although God might say something that's not in the Bible verbatim, it will align itself with the spirit of the Bible. But you got to know God to understand even what I just said. So we get a legalistic person talking about back everything up with scripture. Get away from them, because they are bound to the letter. Look at this. They may broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi, in our common vernacular, rev, reverend, apostle, bishop. People love that junk. They love all these stupid titles, and they just get wrapped up in these silly titles, and they don't most of them don't even know what's going on in the word, don't have any relationship with Jesus, know nothing about the Bible, have made themselves self-appointed apostles, and it's just crazy. And it leads to destruction. Just like Fred Price Jr. just got into something out there at Crenshaw, because his daddy put him in a place like he had a family business, trying to appoint his son to be a pastor when the guy wasn't prepared for that. This is what happens when you try to run a church like a family business. And now the guy has fallen into some kind of sin. He stepped down from being a pastor for a season until he came up under the authority of the church to be disciplined. And of course, he'll be back later as the pastor again. But see, that's what happens when you have one pastor. There's no such thing as one pastor in a church. There are elders that govern churches. But when you make it a family business, you set it up for your family to inherit it. So Fred Price's daughters and his son are running the mom and pop family business with 28,000 members at Crenshaw Christian Center. And all of it is just a misaligned church mockery that doesn't know Jesus. And the guy was set up for failure. Now, folks are saying he's a humble person to sit down and all of that. I mean, all of that is just religious gymnastics. Church has to be reordered correctly for everything to flow like it should. A lot of these young guys are being set up for failure because they're being put into places they have no business being put. And they set up one to be called reverend, apostle, bishop, or superman or superfly, whatever. But all of it is just the workings of the Pharisees. But be not you called rabbi or reverend, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brothers. One is your master, Jesus Christ, and all of you are brothers. Can anybody hear that? And call no man your father upon the earth. So why did Juanita Bynum call Jake's her father? You're my father in the Lord. I get guys calling me from Africa all the time, asking me would I be their papa. I want you to be my papa in the Lord, my father. I said, man, the Bible says don't call any man your father. So how can the Pope be a holy father? How can there be all these fathers in the Roman Catholic Church when the Bible says don't call anybody your father? Do you know the real Jesus? Have you an idea how many people are having fathers they think in the Lord? He is my spiritual father in the Lord. And look, just get to the Lord. Stop magnifying all this stupid religious stuff and just walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Look at this. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now they got folks that they're calling themselves master apostles, master prophets. I'm not just a prophet, I'm a master prophet. What you are is a religious nut. Look at this. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Like folks go on the prayer line and pray for 30 minutes and the lady told you to pray for 5. All that boring, long praying you're doing is not impressing anybody. Pray a prayer and shut up and move on. What's wrong with you? Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, a convert to their religious system. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether it's greater the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. So he goes on and on like this, saying woe to the Pharisees and the scribes, calling them hypocrites. Told them in verse 26, you blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also, because they concentrate on the outside of people. Verse 28, he says, you appear outwardly righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So you see now, here's the real Jesus. You see how he can talk to somebody? He can talk to you very directly and come at you like a hammer when he's displeased with you. He didn't talk like an effeminized little fairy talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, because they were a bunch of hypocritical taskmasters that were beating the people down. So you get two kinds of people. The tenderoni, ultra-feminist Jesus is the wrong Jesus. Then you get the people that make Jesus a taskmaster, make him an ultra-masculine Jesus that just beats you down all day. Beats you into the ground, beats you down, burden you down. Pay your tithes, you're going to hell, Creflo Dollar told him. You got to baptize in the name of Jesus. No, you got to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you're not part of this, you're not saved. This is Holy Ghost headquarters. I mean, all of that is nothing but an ultra masculine Jesus with no mercy, no grace, no heart, no compassion, no love. So you get the ultra feminist that's only got compassion, love, softness, tenderness. Or you get the ultra masculine Jesus that's only hard and just like a drill sergeant and beating you upside the head and slapping you around, putting burdens on you. But the reality is Jesus changes character based on situations. He's meshed into this unique personality just like you that will change as the situation dictates. So if you're wounded, you can't take the Jesus that we're talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees because he's not showing love and he's talking too abrasively and he's too loud and he's calling people hypocrites and said they're blind and going to hell. How can they escape the damnation of hell? Jesus wouldn't say that. He just did say it. You'll tell a person if you don't stop sinning, you're going to hell. And a wounded, broken-hearted, ultra-feminine person that's worshiping an ultra-feminine Jesus will tell you Jesus wouldn't say that when Jesus just said in Matthew 23 that the Pharisees and Sadducees were going to hell, the scribes were going to hell. You said that he wouldn't say it. He already said it. You're telling me that Jesus Christ would never say that somebody's going to hell, and he already said it in the Bible. All because you have an ultra-feminine, unrealistic, idolatrous idea of who Jesus is, so therefore you've effeminized him to the degree that he can't give commandments, he can't be a commander, he can't be authoritative, he can't make a solid proclamation of the word because that's too hard for tender little old me. Or you're so hard and abrasive that anybody showing compassion, anybody showing love, anybody showing patience, anybody showing long suffering, that's not the Lord, because the Lord is a commander, bless God. And he's here to beat you down and make you bear these burdens. You need to man up, you need to woman up, and you need to bear these burdens. Hallelujah. See, both of those are extremes. Calm down. Let the Lord purge your soul. Become normal again. When you're totally disempowered, when you got no energy in you, God can manifest however he sees fit at any given moment. Because you don't care anyway. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to be anything. Let God be true, every man a liar. I must decrease to allow Jesus to increase. That's the real Jesus. He resurrects the dead. Once you're through with all of your religious energy, he'll pick up that dead corpse and use you and produce fruit after his kind in you. The real Jesus. Not ultra feminine, not ultra masculine. He's just Jesus. No extremes appended to him. Jesus. Get back to normal. Get back to the middle of the road. Become a person that Jesus likes. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. The Bible called David a man after God's own heart. The Bible called Daniel highly favored and beloved of God. The Bible says that Abraham was the friend of God. Cultivate an atmosphere within the confines of your own heart that will see God liking you. I like you. I want to be around you. Come up higher and fellowship with me. Get to know me. Man, this thing, it's just not that hard. A lot of you listening to me, you got a bunch of religious stuff bathing your soul that you think God cares about. Drop that religious trash out of your mind. Pray through until that he washes that religious gook out of your soul so you can be normal again. Just like the gathering demoniac, you'll be sitting down clothed in your right mind in order to fellowship with the sincere, true living God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking for counterfeits. We're not looking for idols. We're not looking for make-believe. We're only looking for the real Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words and quicken them to the hearts of the hearers. Make us over into your image. Lift us up to a new place in God. Bring the church together on one accord as we divest ourselves of everything not like you to be joined to you in the spirit, where the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith govern all of us, and there's no human energy anymore. De-energize us so that you can re-energize us with the Holy Ghost, and we can walk in the spirit, not fulfilling the lust and desires of our nasty flesh. God, I'm not just praying to hear myself pray. Bring the church together. Bring a base camp together, a base camp of the saints, where this thing is manifested. By this, all men shall know that we're your disciples because of the love, the selflessness we have one toward another. Do it, God. Do it for your glory. Do it for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's going to wrap it up for tonight, folks. Prayer line going strong, going on right now, 9:06 p.m. That number is 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. Support Dunamis Tabernacle. Support Dunamis Tabernacle. www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate, or mail checks or money orders to Post Office Box 960-146, Riverdale, Georgia 30296. Get a copy of Rules of Engagement by Derek Prince. Derek Prince, Rules of Engagement, finding your place and preparing you for your role in the spiritual battle. Folks, it's time to move to another place in God. It's time to see the Holy Ghost bring the church alive. I'm tired. You're tired. We're tired. We want to see a move of God. We want to see Myesha heal of this cancer. Myesha is what you call MEP. She is mission essential personnel. We have need of her. It's like the colt that Jesus had to ride into Jerusalem. Go and loose the colt because we have need of the colt. Don't let Myesha die because she is mission essential personnel. I tell God this all the time. We have need of Myesha in this army. Myesha has helped a lot of people. If you've ever read her blog, you know the gift that she has in her. Mission essential personnel. She can't die. Don't let her die. Pray that prayer all day long before the God for Myesha. Heal the body. Curse the cancer. Raise her up as a specimen of your glory and your grace. Come on, God. We're believing with everything we've got. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Anything that can't believe, then fix it so I can believe. In Jesus' name. See you back here next week. Remember, church service Sunday morning, 10 o'clock a.m., same live stream channel. It's time to see a new thing. It's time to see this thing raised to another level. It's time to see Dunamis Tabernacle come alive. I hope that God can find some people that mean business. No longer just spectators, but participators. Don't just listen to these messages. It'll be 200 or 300 people listening to this message. The vast majority will just listen to a message and go on. We need some folk that are going to do something now. That are going to move to another place in God. That's our prayer. God, search them out. Find them globally. 7.4 billion people. Find them in Jesus' name. We see you back here next week. See you Sunday at service. Be blessed. Stay out of trouble. Stay away from everybody that's crazy. And for God's sake, whatever you do, stay out of the devil's matrix. Have a blessed night. Blessed week. See you on Sunday. Good night.